aggravation is getting rid of that's worth a lot.
That aggravation is the worst part of all of it, I think. I know it is for me, and I get aggravated and agitated real easy and real quick, Darryl.
Well, I used to, Dan, but I've tried to mellow out a little bit and try not to get agitated quite so easily. And Joy said I'm easier to live with.
I hear that. Yeah, well, that makes sense, and I'm sure you probably are. I have mellowed out quite a bit myself. I'm not near as bad as I used to be, but at any rate, I can still get riled up when everything don't just go just exactly right. You know, I mean, just these little things that come along, you know, that just makes everything go wrong some days. But most of the time, everything's fine, runs along real smooth there. So I'm glad of that, Ort.
Too, Dan, I really am. A fella told me a long time ago, he says, take care of the little things, and then you won't have to worry about the big things, because if you take care of the little things, big things will take care of themselves. And I didn't take that to heart for a good long while, but, you know, he's pretty well right. You take care of something small, and seem like it's insignificant right now, but it keeps from turning into something bigger. So I look at the small problems and tackle them first, and then don't worry about the big ones. They'll handle themselves.
Yeah, you're right, and that's a good philosophy too. It really is a good rule of thumb to follow there. And so how's that garden coming along now? You about to wind it up?
For the most part there, Dan, I got it, everything's out of it. Got it tilled up. I was going to plant me some greens out there, and we were expecting those real heavy rains, and so I didn't put anything out. And then the rains came, and got a couple of spots out there. I want to get out there and move a little dirt around. You know, it's getting like a little low spot, and I don't want it to stay wet all the time. And I still want to get my greens out there in the garden and see if we can get any of those, but hadn't done that yet. But the ground's turned, and it looks pretty out there. I just got to get out there and do a little more to it.
I miss my garden a lot of times, and I really do miss my turnip greens. And I always used a bunch of seed. I mixed them up, and just throw them all out there together. I mixed up the regular turnip greens, the purple top turnips. Let's see, rape. They had a rape seed. They had a tender green, which is a big wide leaf, and then them good old mustard greens. And boy, I'm gonna tell you, if you mix up four together and just broadcast them out there, every how you plant them, and let them things come up, and man, I'm gonna tell you now, you talking about a good mixture. They don't get no better than that, though.
Dan, that's the way I do it. I mix mine up, and Daddy told me a long time ago, the first time I was planting greens out there, you know, them seeds are teeny tiny little things. And I called my daddy, and I said, Dad, what's the best way to do this? He said, I'll be over there just a little bit. So a little while later, he came in, and he opened the trunk of his car, and he had a bag of play sand. You know, it didn't weigh 5 pounds. And he reached in and got that, and he said, where's your seed? And I went and got the seed, and he got a cup, and he mixed poured a few seed in and poured some sand in and mixed it all up real good. And then he did what you said. He just broadcast it, just took that cup and slung it. And I said, that thing's going everywhere. He said, they're supposed to, but he said they'll be good when they come up. And that's the way I plant mine.
That's exactly right. He gave me some good advice, because that's the way I did mine. I put some, I have an old coffee can here, one of them old quart-sized coffee cans. And I'd put me some sand in there and pour them seed in there, stir them things up real good. And then just walk out through there and just sift them out. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'd have a good patch about, my rows were about, I guess across the width of the garden was about 15 or 20 feet. And then I would make that thing the full width of the garden in about, I'd say maybe 10 feet going up the other way. So I had a pretty good patch of greens when I got through with them there over.
Like you did. But that's the way I do mine. And like I said, I want to get out there and get them in the ground and broadcast the seed out and see if any of it comes up. We've been blessed with the garden we've had here. We've had a garden, every year but two since we've been here. And we had it for like 7 years, and then we decided to let the ground lay fallow for a year. And we did that, and then the first year we didn't have a garden, and then, like I said, we planted one, and 7 years later we did without a garden, and then we've had another one ever since. So won't be long till I won't plant a garden there. Then about every 7 years we let the ground just rest for a year. And if it wants to grow weeds, we grow weeds. If not, we get out there and turn the soil a little bit and put some amendments in there and, that sort of thing.
Yes, sir, and that's a good thing. I don't recommend keeping a garden there like that myself that way. You always need to give it a year or so to rest. Just let it go for a year or so. And then the next time, try it again. And like you say, add a little fertilizer to it, whatever you need to, compost and all that stuff. Then after a year or so, and you get ready and start over again there. And it works pretty doggone good there. Over.
Yes, for us so far, Dan, I can't complain. I might have to knock on some wood somewhere. But that's the way I was brought up and taught to do it. I was also taught to rotate my crops, don't plant the same thing in the same spot every year. So I've always done that, I do know one thing. This year, we planted the tomatoes, they have never done good on that end of the garden. And I told Joy, I said, I ain't planting the tomatoes down there no more. So I might have to eat my words, but that's the way things work out sometimes.
Yeah, I had the same problem with my tomatoes, and they wouldn't grow on one in that garden. My garden is just slightly sloped, just a very slight slope. But it seemed like up on the upper end, I guess there wasn't quite as much topsoil or something. Up on the upper end, the ground was harder or something or other. But the tomatoes never did grow good on that end of the garden either as they did down on the lower end. So I always kept them on the lower half of the garden. I'd move them around a little bit, but I'd keep them on the lower half down there, and they seemed to do a lot better there. Over.
Gardening's all about the way I look at it, Dan. You learn something different every year. It may not like this plant may not like it on this end of the garden, and this one might not like it over there. But you can keep them moved around a little bit, like you say, not plant them exactly in the same spots. But your ground will tell you much, pretty much what it wants and what it needs. My neighbor down the street stopped and asked me, he said, "Where did you get your soil tested?" I said, "I ain't never had it tested." He said, "Well, you always got a pretty garden." I said, "Well," I said, I just been blessed, I guess, for the most part. I said, I turned the ground the first time and I put some compost in there, and then I've been adding a little compost each year. I said, I try not to use a whole lot of chemical fertilizer. I go get some manure or something like that. We had chickens, and I'd put that on there. Of course, you got the watch how much of that you put on there, and you don't want to let it burn your plants up. So it's a learning experience, and do it one time and you know everything.
KI4DOS with WB4FVE. It is a learning experience, that's for sure. And you talk about the chicken compost, man, I'm going to tell you, you know, they used to have some of them chicken farms around here, old chicken houses, and you could get you a trailer load of compost with shavings and all in there. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's some of the best stuff in the world you put on your garden. But like you say, you got to use it kind of sparingly and until it ends good. And don't put it down just before you get ready to plant either. You need to do that a little bit early. when you get ready to turn it the first time, I would say, is go ahead and put it on there then and turn it into the ground good. And give it a week or two before you plant anything there over.
But I always did. There's a dairy farm not too terribly far down 25 I used to go to, and I used to get dried manure down there, but he taught me to get some of that fresh stuff, and I carried it home. And of course, the neighbors didn't like me there for a season, but yeah, I had the best growing stuff off of that that fresh manure than I did the dry stuff.
Yeah. Don't doubt that a bit. And I'm sure the neighbors wasn't too happy. Yeah, boy, I've been there and done that. Know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, but it's good. I'm going to tell you, you can't beat it. It's a whole lot better than using the other stuff. You just have to do what you have to do. And right now, you can't hardly find anything. There won't nobody give you nothing more. Most of them's out of business. And I know there was a big chicken house down on 25 for a while where you could go. And they'd give you a load of it and a heartbeat. And then they got real technical and everything on it. Found out that they redid their chicken house somewhere or another and fixed it so that they could go in there and wash and hose all that down into a trench, and it run out into a big tank. And they work it in that tank and then hook it behind the tractor and take it down there and broadcast it across the field, all across their field and pasture down there to grow, you know, grass for the cattle. So they was using it to their own good, which was a good thing, and that way it didn't go to waste there, over.
Name of the game, you know, if you can figure out a way to use something you already got on hand, you don't have to spend no money, and you might have to spend some money on a machine or something, but for the most part, that's free. I hate that they quit giving it away, but you know, that's progress, Dad. You know, we about done ourselves in with all the progress.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think that place is there anymore. But it was good while it lasted. But anyway, well, Gary, I'll get out of here and let you go out another call. You might get a second shift going here. You can't ever tell. And tell Miss Joy was us. Said hello, and I hope the rest of your week is good, brother. We talk to you again next time. So you take care. And KI4DOS in the net. This will be WB4 Fox Echo Echo Clear. And hello to Mr. Ray and Ms. Edie.
Okay, Dan, you and Joan have a good evening. What's left of it? Don't you work too hard tomorrow. You be safe and be careful out there on the road. And we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon. Y'all take care. Additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. On the stump is Brother Ray up there at Traveler's Rest. Mr. Ray, what have you and Miss Edie been up to today, young man?
Good evening, Gary. KI4DOS and net. This is K4SUG. Hey, Dan. Hope everything's going well with you. We went off up with the post office. Mail some stuff I had to get rid of. started to go to one store and change their mind way to the other. And we went up to Ingles up here, both at high school. Shopped or did a little shopping up there and picked up a few odds and ends we needed to come on back home. Haven't done much of anything else, really. Been just more or less fiddling around. But I tell you about finding my dent puller. I had a little dent in one of the doors on the truck. And I found that dent puller and I put it to work. And it worked. It still works, Gary. Pulled them dents right out of there and smeared a little Gondo over there and sanded it down, put some paint on it. If you look for it real, real, real close, you can find it. But you got to know it's there and be looking for it over.
That you got that done, I know it bothered you a little bit, or you wouldn't have went looking for your dent puller and stuff, but I'm glad you got that taken care of. Those tools, they might lay there for 20 or 30 years or whatever, but if they were working when you laid them down, they'll work when you pick them back up. That's the way mine are, anyway. At least most of the time, I have found some of them that was just covered up in rust, and I had to lay them in a bucket of navel jelly to get the rust off of them, but that's a different story. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Well, glad you got your errands run, and I hate that you had to go to the grocery store, but, you know, that's a necessary evil. There's a few things that we can't grow around the house or don't want to fool with, and it's easier to go to the grocery store to pick them up. So I'm glad you got all your errands run. That's a big plus in itself. And just slowing down and taking it easy for the afternoon, that's not a bad thing either. I was going to get out and do some stuff, and we had one of our friends came over and visited for a while, and I had to go to the drugstore, pick up a prescription that the doctor had refilled for me this morning. But other than getting a good report at the doctor and visiting with our friends, I hadn't done much at all today.
Anyway, I got a call from the doctor. I was over there about a week ago, and they took some blood tests, and they got some medicine I got to pick up. I guess I'll probably go out and get it tomorrow and see what that does for me. Nothing serious, just routine maintenance, so to speak, like an oil change, I guess. But everything going along all right. The walnut tree decided to shed all its fruit this last night. I come back in, I had to go back in, come back in the hood of the driveway, because I didn't run over all them walnuts scattered around up there. Hope we get some good ones this time. Most of the time we get some good ones if the squirrels don't get them all. Gary, I don't know how anything else going on. Just been sitting here listening to the net. About to go to sleep. And I think I'll go in and brew me up a cup of coffee and see what the late news got to say. Go from there, I reckon. We watched the debate last night. And I don't know what the other people think about it, but I've seen some grade school kids do a better job of debating each other. But that's beside the point. I think somebody won. I don't know who it was, but we'll find out later on. Trump's got a big get-together going up in Minnesota tonight, so we'll see how he comes out on that. That's enough politics, too. I about get enough of that. Just what rubs off on me, Gary. Over.
Unfortunately, I was like you last night. I was watching the debate. And I started to come in here and take the time to check in, but on the net, but I didn't. I was watching the debate. So now you're talking about something that we would have fun discussing over a cup of coffee. we got to do that real soon. Uh, I keep saying that, and then all of a sudden another week's gone by. But I am going to slip off up there and have a cup of coffee. We'll open up a keg of nails, as you say, and see what we can get into. I think that would be really enjoyable and a stress reliever for a little while anyhow.
The weather's supposed to be good for the next 10 days. The weatherman said we're going to have dry weather for the next 10 days. Longest dry spell we had in 2020.
Don't complain.
Me either. I'm getting tired of slipping and sliding. I had to be real careful with the lawnmower. You know, you can spin that thing in its own length anyway. And if you spin it too hard, it might forget to stop.
You don't know merry-go-round now. I don't think to get slung off of that thing and get hurt, especially that. But like I was telling somebody earlier, you know, I needed to get out. I was telling John, I needed to get out there and cut the grass, but it was a little bit too damp today, or too wet. It wasn't damp. You walk out through there, your shoes would get wet. I don't like to cut the grass when it's that wet. It clogs up my mower deck and my little old. I got a thing you hook the hose pipe to that's supposed to wash the deck out. Well, that thing broke off. I don't know what happened to it, other than vibration maybe. But it old pot aluminum, it popped off, and now I got to get me another one of those to clean my deck out.
Yeah, I got one of them too. It works pretty good. You put the hose on that thing and cut that blade, let her eat. That usually cleans it out pretty good.
That worked there for a good long while, and then I guess it got clogged up or something. I don't know what happened to it, but it's got two screws holding it down onto the mower deck. And it's got two ears out there, and then you got the little nipple that sticks up, and you hook the hose pipe to, and it's got another one that goes up down underneath the deck. I don't know what happened, but one ear broke, and you know, where it was bolted down to the top of the deck, and then the other one broke, and it's time to go get another one.
Well, that's par for the course. That happens every once in a while. And it goes with the territory, I reckon, Gary. Well, you've been in here for a long time tonight, and I know you must be getting tired, so I'm going to let you go. Looking forward to seeing you if you get a chance to drift up this way and we'll do something, even if it's wrong. Have a good one, Gary. Tell everybody I said hello, and we'll talk to you again later. Say for SUG.
Well, tell Miss Edie we said hello. Y'all take care and stay warm, stay dry, and stay safe, and stay well. And I'll get up there to see you quick as I can. Y'all take care and enjoyed it as always, and look forward to doing it again. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. I got on the rag chew list tonight is Mr. Al, KI4MLN, down there in Malden. Al, what have you been up to?
Been quite a week. You know, this has been the worst week I had in a while. Just a little crap going wrong, you know, and my friend's going to send me a copy of the 1962 Amateur Radio Handbook. He grabbed me one on Amazon. I had, and that has one of the best tube diagrams and some of the best schematics of doing some homebrew amps. And I started looking through all the junk. I told my neighbor, I said, you know, we're not going to throw these. I got some racks and some parts, these old chassis. I said, we're not going to throw this out. I said, we're going to figure out what we can save. And I was thinking about, I got to get my 706. We got to find something for the antenna. I got to get something. It's going to get cold in a couple weeks. And until I can do a few things in the shop, I want to get back on the air so I can spend a little time on it for the winter time on it on air. The tower's out there. I just gotta swap an antenna there somehow and gotta get something going. So I found a piece of coax. I burned the crap out of my hand. but I think I got it soldered. My meter, I put batteries in, the meter was no good. The sensor, I took that thing, I can't get that apart. I got to buy some resistors for it. We got to get it to come over sometime. We got to get the cover off that thing. I think you're right. I think someone put more of the Jones Hill and probably burned some resistors out of it. I think the meter's all right. I said the old sensor, because that's a pretty old bulletproof old meter.
It doesn't sound like things have been going exactly your way the last little bit. But I hope your buddy sends you that book. I've got some old books here. I don't know if it goes back to 63 or not. It may not go back that far. But those old ARRL handbooks have got some good information in them. They really do. You got to learn the basics before you can figure out all this other stuff. So that's always a good deal. You're talking about you throwing the stuff away. Well, you don't throw that kind of stuff away if you're going to plan on doing any kind of building or anything like that. Or if you got a homebrew something or another that you've already made, you don't want to throw away a part you might need to repair it. So. I get fussed at all the time. Well, not all the time. That's telling a story. I get reprimanded every once in a while because of all the junk I've got. I've been called a pack rat. And I said, well, yeah, that would probably suit me to a point. But, I hate to throw stuff out that I think I might need later because I have done it in the past. And, you know, I said, well, I hadn't used this in forever, so I'm just going to throw it away. And I throw it away, and 2 weeks later, I needed it.
It's unfortunate what happened with Collins did. It's unfortunate that, like I said, I got to go get that relay for that power supply for the amplifier. I've got to got to get together. I got to give you that 706 so you can test that transmitter. I'll make sure it's okay. I think it is. Worst case scenario, I got to find out. I think the vertical is the only way to go. I don't know what Gabriel wants for that 80 meter vertical and what we can, how much he wants. It's just unfortunate that jerk just sold all my cats on my account. That didn't help, so I gotta eliminate that problem from happening again. And I think I remember some of the stuff from building a transmitter. 40 years ago, I blueprinted one on a piece of paper with all the brother. It'll come back to me once I see it on paper again. I'll get a copy of the 62 handbook and I'll hand it to you. I gotta get things ready to take that test for an extra class so I can get that over with. But I really want to get something for antenna tamper, whatever we can do. A friend of mine is going to give me a little vertical for the gutter, temporary. We wouldn't have to guide the tower with a small vertical. That wouldn't be a problem. And that shouldn't be too bad. It's trying to find out here what he wants. The antenna, how big it is, weight, what band it's for, what he wants, I just want to get something back on here. I hope my transfer didn't blow the file up. I'll have to pay someone to change the file, and I hope we don't have to do that.
I got in touch with Gabriel. He has sold that 80 meter vertical that he had. It's no longer available. I guess we're back to trying to figure something else about that. As far as the finals go on that 706, those things have got circuits designed in them now, Al, that if SWR goes way too high or goes crazy or something, they cut the power back. And it's real hard to burn the finals up in them. It can be done, but it's not as easy as it used to be. And you probably didn't hurt it as far as that goes, but we'll get a dummy load, put it on a dummy load, check it, and put it on a watt meter and see what goes on.
years, we might be able to. If I could fire them out and get it on the gutter, we probably could just do that temporarily and just fire the friends there. Or I'll have to sit down and build something. I don't know what's the easiest, fastest way to do it. I didn't want to stick something in the ground, Cap, or that because, downstairs, if I put something down by the building, we got the little German Shepherd and the kids running around down there. I want the antenna on the tower so that nobody gets bit.
I wouldn't want any of the small children to get an RF burn. That would not be good.
Little German Shepherd, she's a real cute little puppy. She's got some company. I don't want the dogs down there. I don't want one of the dogs getting zapped either.
As far as getting the dog zapped, I don't want them to get zapped either, but I'd worry more about the children than I would the dogs. you don't want to get anything to zap to an RF like that. You don't want to get that. I've had an RF burn, and they are not nice. I don't know if you've ever had one or not, but that's not the most pleasant thing in the world. It takes a long time for it to heal. But like I said, I've had one before, and I don't want another one. I can guarantee you that.
My story when I was a kid, I did it. My friend gave me this little DX-40 one time to play with before I got my license, and I found out it was just a file. So I changed the file in it, and I said, "Oh, I'll put it up on a light bulb." So I grabbed an old light socket and connected to it, soldered it. Wire to it, put the triangle on the screws on a piece of cord, and those old transistors, you can get away with that. And I said, I just feel a light bulb, and I'm doing it up. And, I didn't think about it. The coax didn't want to fit. The wire I used didn't want to fit in the hole, so I kind of took the cardboard insulator off the socket and left it off. That had no big deal. It's only 40 watts, ain't going to do nothing. I was feeling a light bulb, and I didn't pay attention to it, so I tuned it up. I got the transfer getting right output, and I said, okay. I reached over, and I touched right across the daughter's screw, and man, I burned the crap out of my finger. And I had typing class in high school next day. I was swearing at it, and she goes, "What's the matter?" She goes, "I can't use the typewriter today." I said, "I got burned so bad on my thumb, I can't touch nothing." And you could look at it on the outside, you couldn't even see it. But boy, man, that hurt.
I don't doubt that, the least little bit. But there again, we don't want the children or the dogs or anybody to get hurt with something like that.
After high school, I was on my buddy's house. Had this old military transmitter, an old 813 file, but it was a Friedrich couple 813 modulated thing. And his antenna fell as an aircraft operator. So we said, we don't care. We'll just, this thing will tune up into anything. So we hooked up the long wire spot to it, loaded the transmitter up, and the guy at Newtown couldn't hear us. So I said, let me just reach over here and see what's going on. He gave us soft line. I reached over with a pencil by the door, and the doorknob was so hot, it arced off the pencil and burned my hand from the doorknob. I said, I think the room's a little hot.
That ain't good, Al.
Give you a good gardening tip for today. Two things I want to tell you. Don't spill your moonshine in the garden when you burn the garden off when you light the match, because you might get burnt.
Yes.
Saying something about the plug with the beer, That's a darn good idea. I never thought of that.
Well, two heads are better than one.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. I don't know. Maybe we can think about something here. I got one little hamstick we could try it on eating with it. I got a short piece of coax that I think we could put it where it'll hook. Maybe you and I can fabricate a little gutter mount, or if we have to, we'll see. Because I think my coax cable might have shorted out, but it didn't want to work with the 2 meter either. We found what happened. So I guess time to get a cup of coffee today. I'm 4 shots there if that's big last time I leave. want to talk about it. But you know what's funny about it? I'm glad I live in the South and not in the North. That's all I can tell you.
Oh, you miss it up there in, Connecticut. I think I've admitted.
Days it used to be a good place to live where I used to live. But now it's gone to crap up there. It's so sad, you know. I see places that Danbury Fair used to be up there and used to be a racetrack and all the good things, and it's all gone now. My friend, he died on that 356 for his brick car, and the fuel pump went out, and after I died, I said, well, this thing got the fuel pump. I talked to him tonight, and he's going to put it back on his dial. You know, the worst part is, if you die on an engine like that, it's a couple $100 every time you got to do that.
Them race car engines expensive.
He said to his driver, he said, listen, you know, if we make a mistake, we got two races in a season, we got a $10,000 engine or more sitting here. If we do it ourselves, if it blows up, now we're out of engine for next season.
It's an expensive sport, no doubt.
Have you ever had, by the way, I'm going to see if I can get you guys, one of my friends in Connecticut has, I believe it's legal to ship cider to South Carolina as long as you don't make money on it. I think he has a cider mill. He makes the best apple cider you've ever tasted. He's going to see if he can send me down a bottle. And if I can get some, I'll see if I can get some of you guys to try it out.
Playing. My sister and her husband live up there in Hendersonville, and they've got an apple. Well, they live in an apple orchard, or part of one, and they got them an old apple press, and they made their own cider last year. Boy, you talking about some good stuff. I told Billy, I said the only thing wrong with it is, I said you're not supposed to take your shoes off when you're turning that press. He said, I didn't step in it. I said, tastes like you did.
Has a recipe with four different types of apple special syrup. Will you taste this stuff? If I get old, he said, he's going to UPS them down. What I'm going to do? And I told him, I said, well, you know, I don't think it's illegal to ship. I said, but if it's going to, what I'll do is I'll send you up a rear-range deal or something for business with a bill in it. I'll give you a rear-range deal you put up on the wall. And you tell me what the ship is, it should be down the cider. He said, he's got a sample bottle, but he said, I might have to buy a 5 gallon pail. Expensive shipping is non pasteurized cider, so it's got to be kept cool. But like I said, and the other thing is, next season, I'm going to make some strawberry wine. Now, I did it once, my nephew did it once. But I found the right yeast, and, you know, because out here in Georgia, strawberries, I think, pretty easy. That's the easiest thing to make wine out of.
I think people make wine out of a lot of stuff. Met a fella down in Orangeburg, made wine out of tomatoes.
I've seen people make muscatel wine. Down here, you see a lot of different wines. In South Carolina, I think there's people that make it locally. I probably should call one of those guys up and tell them our plans. So when I do it, when I found out getting growers yeast, I either get 10% or 15%, but my 15, that's pretty strong. But man, I had some wine before. His wine it's old, you know, he makes them pretty rough, too. All right, well, let the key go, but I know it's getting late, but tell you here a little. I got one ham stick here, maybe we can fabricate on a clamp or something. I don't know why, I wish I had gotten at that. But hopefully you got your oxygen, your sensors changed in your truck. Finish that, and pull that light back. They get back to it, it's getting late.
Well, I have, they've still got a few things to do. Oh gosh, there's always something to do around here. But you're asking about the oxygen sensors, the O2 sensors. No, I haven't got them in yet. And I didn't want to lay on the ground and crawl up under the truck and with all the water we've been having, so I've been letting it wait a little bit. I waited and let the garden dry out, and then I got out there with a plow and a tiller and all that, got it turned back up so I could put some more groceries out there, and then it started raining again. So I'll get it done one of these days.
I got the socket right here. If you got an HF oil in your truck, you can check the transmitter. If you want to come down one day, we can get back to the shop. I'll just put a loose junk out of the way. You can put it up on the lift. It'll be very easy on the lift.
Would make it real easy, but getting the time to get down there and getting the shop cleared out to where you can get the truck in there, that's another thing. And I don't know if your brother's still got cars out there in front of the shop or not. It seemed like the last time I was down there, and that's been a while back, he had a couple of cars out there that he was working on, or you might have been working on them, I don't know. There was a couple of cars out there. But don't want to go through too much trouble getting moving things around.
Oh, that's an easy thing to do. I just got to get you that transit. We can check it out. I just need to get it to stop raining. I got to get. It's like I want to get this. Maybe we can come up with a mount, get that car mount on the building. I think even a hamstick might even work on the gutter if we tried it. Because there's a feed through right there. You probably just get coax right to that. I don't know, I think that would be a temporary fix. It wouldn't be that hard to do it.
You can do is try it and see. If it works, great. If it don't, you ain't lost nothing but a little time.
I'll do one day, if I can find the pieces to do it, maybe the next couple weeks I'll see if I can get an antenna somewhere, and I'll have to get you that transmitter so you can check it out.
I can get Tim, I'll give you a call one Saturday, we'll get old Ranger drive over there with the transmitter, and we'll hook it up to your power supply and check it out. We can check the transmitter out, that ain't no problem, I got power supply and I got dummy loads and antennas and everything else, you know, we can get the transmitter checked and
VHF antenna, because this handy talkie just doesn't make it, barely makes it. Sometimes it does. One of the guys is going to give me one of those little verticals and stick on the gut, on the gutter. I said, well, we're going to have to put a mag mount. I'm going to have to get a piece of angle iron to stick the magnetic mount to. And probably just see clearance of the gutter. That would probably work temporary.
Angle iron bolted to the top of your tower and then run it out away from the tower a little bit and stick your VHF and UHF antenna on it.
I want it on the top, but the coax is all bad. We got nothing to feed it.
That present a problem.
A short coax, we can fabricate something. The guard said he's going to bring over that antenna one day. So I'll see, 73, when I get a copy of that handbook, I'll give you a call if we get together and can flip through that thing and see. Because that's got a real nice tube angle in there, and I need the capacitance value to build the small, low output, to build the driver, for the amp. I don't want to use the 706 to drive the linear. I don't like driving unless you have to. Because then you got to be careful when you drive amplifiers like that. 73 is KI4 MLA clear. This thing getting hot. Catch you later, KI4 MLA clear.
Well, you take care. Enjoyed it. And we'll do it again. Do we have any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4 DOS. That's going to about wrap it up for this evening. Appreciate all you fine folks out there in Radio Land that came in and checked in with me tonight. Come back tomorrow night. Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling, as far as I know. and give him a good dose of writer's cramp. I'll turn this over to the computer now and let it tell you what the net report says, and we'll go from there. Folks, we had a grand total of 51 check-ins tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks who checked in with us tonight, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.